one out there. It's scorching, so you stay inside, stay cool, turn on our podcast, Cloak and Jabber, to get a recap of the latest episode of Cloak and Dagger on Freeform. I'm Alex.
Hey, we are a cool breeze blowing in from the northeast. I'm JT Sizzle on the ones and twos.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be recapping the latest episode of Call and Dagger. Cloak and Dagger named Call/Response. No end there. Don't worry about
it. Yes.
Now, this has been a good run for Cloak and Dagger. Very exciting stuff. I'm killing a little bit of time right here because I'm opening up some notes from our New Orleans correspondent before we get into the latest episode.
Yes, I do love this segment. We have someone who lives down in New Orleans to give us a little backstory on some of the moments from previous episodes. What's our man on the streets take?
So this is Brett Macris. You can follow him at BRETMACRIS. And let's see. Okay, he had actually a bunch of notes. This is going to be for the third episode of the show, so you can go back and check out this stuff. Melvin's Bar, Tyrone passes it in the streetcar, is an old school staple, old man bar with live music. Sounds like you would like it, Pete.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Pete's a Melvin's guy.
We were talking about this the last episode. The info on the tour is legit, it turns out.
Yeah.
There's a voodoo tour that Emoji Girl takes Ty on. Turns out that's totally real. He also mentions, I don't want to give too much address info, but he lives around the corner from Mary Laveau's birth house. Also, the voodoo ritual at Laveau's grave. Now, you might remember this. You got very upset about this, Pete.
Yep.
Ty puts an X on the grave.
Why would you do that?
Well, here's why. It's a standard flirting courting in NOLA, or you drink hurricanes, throw beads at each other, and everyone takes their shirt off. That's what Brett says.
Oh,
so there you go.
Pete, you should move down there.
Yeah, you should.
You love all that stuff, for the graves.
I would not put an X on somebody else's grave. I don't care if that's considered flirting or not.
Okay, you're a weirdo. The Don Bluff Voodoo Shop is deep in the French Quarter, close to Preservation Hall, the oldest active jazz hall in the country. The pizza across the street is shit, as is most of the pizza in the quarter, but he judges everything against Smiley's on 7th Avenue and 9th Street near the GF stop.
Nice.
Stop by Smiley's, say, Cloak and Jabber sent you.
Yeah.
There you go.
Get ready for a sponsorship coming our way.
Now, this is interesting. He mentioned Dabala's earlier, the voodoo shop. This is because locals only go into the French Quarter for three reasons, he says. You have people visiting and they want to go there to party, you work, own a business, or it's Mardi Gras. So that's the only reason to go into there.
Agreed, it's like a tourist trap. There are much better spots to go to. When I'm down there, I go to the Bywater. A lot of cool bars down there.
Ooh.
A little bit out of the way.
Oh, these are some good travel tips.
Yeah,
I'm
down.
Let's slowly morph this into a travel show, 100%. Now, speaking of not at all, Pete, this is another thing you got pretty upset about. Was there was a joke the last episode where he had to get a bunch of voodoo ingredients. He said, where should they get that? There was a smash cut to him holding a Whole Foods bag.
Yeah.
Guess what? You could buy all those bath ingredients at a Whole Foods in New Orleans.
I wasn't doubting that. I just thought it was like a lame plug for Whole Foods.
It wasn't
in the
a plug. It was a good joke.
Yeah. Now, all right, let's not stay on this point too much. This is something teased the last couple of episodes, but confirmed this episode, the roof that Cloak, a.k.a. Ty, steps out on is, in fact, the roof of Emeralds. So Emeril Lagasse making a cameo, even though he probably doesn't know it.
He's going to show up.
100%. He babs in when you least expect it.
Yeah, he bamps in.
Also, again, lots of notes here, but this is great stuff. Tandy's vision. Now, if you remember, there were two visions the last episode. Ty had a vision. Tandy had a vision. Tandy's vision was in a park that's most likely filmed in City Park. Brett says, think Central Park, but bigger and not as groomed with a couple of alligators.
Very cool.
There you go. The detective, is Detective O'Reilly, gets her coffee from C-Scenes, which is a chain coffee store in NOLA, and they have decent iced coffee. Again, some good food wrecks there. The shitty cop, who's the evil cop. Do you remember his name, Pete?
Yeah, evil cop.
Okay, great.
O'Reilly, right?
Now, this is another thing. Remember, he's like, none of that Brooklyn beer. Don't get me any of that Brooklyn beer.
Yeah, yeah.
To Detective O'Reilly. That's actually a common sentiment down there towards New York City. It's actually worse with Los Angeles. So if you're going down to New Orleans, we're from New York. We're going to pretend
People in New Orleans hate New York beer?
Yeah.
There's a ton of local beer down there. It's a big beer town.
Well,
it's a big drinking town.
Brooklyn beer is great. What the F, man?
Wow.
I offended. Love the Brooklyn Brewery.
Yeah, but don't you want to drink? You drink local when you're in the local spot.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure, but I mean,
you well, go they, down and order a Brooklyn drink? Lager, they're going to kick your ass.
All right, dude, a couple of other quick notes before we wrap up the section. Again, thank you, Brett. Tours are a neural part of the existence of the French Quarter, Vampire, Haunted Voodoo Swamp. There's always tours. They all end at a bar, and he says, I'm not even kidding about that. Awesome. Also,
most events in New Orleans end in a bar. Church ends in a bar.
he also says, I've met a few voodoo practitioners, and they don't know any of them who have a 3D printer. Most of them are happy to have rent money. Now, if you remember, Emoji Girls ad is printing a 3D model of Thai for reasons that we don't quite know yet. And the last note that he has is, tell Justin it's pronounced Gator. Thank you very much.
Oh, nice.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, wait. What he has one more note. I'm having a little trouble reading this. What does that say over there? That one, Pete?
Airboats?
No, I think it says Gator Boats.
No, I don't think that's what it says.
No, it says airboats.
Yeah, it says they're called gator boats. Nope. I'm not going to lie. I had to look it up 100%. Not, what did you say?
Airboats.
No, it's gator boats. Wow. I don't know. Anyway, thank you so much, Brett.
So let me get this straight. You
fake
read
news.
All the
Alex
notes
is
and then
fake
ignored.
News. Alex is fake news.
100% tightly, very tightly.
He's a believer in gator boats, now, the biggest conspiracy theory.
Thank you again, Brett. Tune in next week for more notes on the episode we're about to recap. Speaking of which, quick little recap. You might have gathered some of this stuff, but Ty and Tandy both got powers through mysterious reasons. Ty has dark powers. He can teleport. He can read people's darkest fears. And Tandy has light powers. She can create daggers with her hands. And she also can view people's hopes. The two plot lines, Tandy has been dealing with her mom, who's a drunk alcoholic, dating potentially a skeezy lawyer. We find out a little bit more about this yeah. episode. And they're all trying to find out what happened with the Roxxon Corporation, which caused the powers, but also ended up killing Tandy's dad. Ty's plotline is there is a corrupt cop who killed his brother when he was a kid, and he's trying to track him down. He finally figured out who he is, but he wants to kill him, wants to turn him in. He's not quite sure yet. So lots of other stuff getting up. We'll talk about it as we get into the episode. So let's jump into it. Once again, great structure for this episode.
I love this show. This show does not pull punches. This show is written very well, and it really like feels so deliberate in all its choices. It takes risks. I'm really so happy with it.
This is driving me nuts that these two people obviously need each other, but are not getting together and staying together, and it's driving me insane.
They're strangers who have nothing in common except for the fact that they have...
they keep ending up together, and oh, we woke up on a beach together, and oh, by the way, we both...
Well, okay, again, I know you're getting very emotionally attached to this show, Pete. I think what we've established over the course of the run of this podcast is you're not actually angry at the show so much as feeling what the characters are going through.
Yeah.
And that, once again, is what they're dealing with in this episode, because at the end of the last episode, they both ended up in the church that Tandy is hiding out in together. Their powers had connected in some strange way, and they said they have to talk. And that's exactly what they're doing this episode, is they're trying to hash it out. They're trying to figure it out. To Justin's point, they don't know each other yet. So this wonderful structure that we get over the course of the episode is them having this conversation broken up with the aftermath of this conversation.
Yeah, it was a really smart structure. But I think to your point, they are trying to get to know each other, but they already know sort of too much about each other. They've seen their innermost like fears and hopes, and that fucks up your ability to just be like regular friends or become regular friends with somebody.
Well, I'm not asking them to be regular friends. I'm just saying, like, hey, if I knew somebody who kind of had the opposite power that I had, I would be like, hey, it seems like the world is pushing us together. Let's not run away so fast.
They literally have that dialogue in the episode, like almost word for word.
Yeah, but then they go their separate ways at the end of the episode.
Well,
so,
okay, but to Justin's point, I think that's an interesting point you bring up, because Tandy was in Ty's dreamscape and saw Ty's innermost feelings. Ty saw Tandy's innermost feelings, but they didn't see it. Again, they talk about this during the episode, but Tandy knows what Ty needs. Ty knows what Tandy needs. But if somebody came up to you and was like, hey, man, you got to stop running away from everything in your life because I was inside of your head, you'd probably be like, fuck you. What are you talking? You don't know me. I can't tell me what to do. Lives in my head.
Exactly. Like if Pete obviously is the cloak. Pete's like, I guess more of a like flannel shirt of the situation.
Yep.
And I'm the dagger. I'm the like sort of too small t-shirt.
Yeah.
So like you see how
you're the light bright to my darkness. But my point is, it just drives me insane that they don't have a conversation about like, hey, were you in that river or that lake when?
But they already know that. They know that they were in the lake.
Right, but I mean, they haven't. It's just frustrating to me that they haven't talked as much as I feel like they should.
There's going
to
be more episodes. So we start with them in the church where they are starting to show their connection, recount their dreams to each other. I thought this was so nice. Tandy feels a little bit different in this episode. She feels like she's evolving a little bit. She's like, oh, this is my thing now. I'm going to figure out how these powers work. I'm going to start to get my life back together. And it's a welcome change.
Yeah, it's one thing we've talked about quite a bit on the podcast is I've almost been reticent to let them grow, I think I realized during this episode. Because the idea that Tandy is dark and has this light pulling on her and Ty is light but has this dark pulling on him is so interesting to me. But seeing them make those progressions means I'm worried they're going to get to a place where it's like, and now we're wearing superhero costumes and we're exactly who we need to be and we found it. I almost don't want that arc. I want them to always be developing and always be changing. I don't want there to be the typical arc of a superhero show where it was, and now it's episode 13 and he's putting on the Daredevil suit, you know?
Right. Well, I don't think we're going to get that because as Tandy is starting to get sort of on the right path, it feels like Ty is like a little bit of a mess. He early on in the episode, he makes out with Emoji Girl in the unreasonably lit dark room. And it feels like
why is it a horrible choice?
Because he's trusting somebody that has ulterior motives.
Again, she does not have ulterior motives.
Her only motive is to keep the emojis flowing.
No, she liked him out of the blue. She's obviously a pawn for
that's
the
love
voodoo
at first
lady.
Sight. That's a weird conspiracy. No, that's dude. A conspiracy. You're
voodoo
a conspiracy
lady
theorist.
Controlling shit, and she is just working for the voodoo lady.
That's not true and a weird theory.
Okay, fine.
But I guess we'll see. Pete has been proven right one time, maybe.
multiple times. Okay. We'll give him multiple times. I also think, I don't know, sometimes people like each other, Pete.
Yeah, that's great. But then your family members shouldn't be making voodoo dolls of the person you like.
She's not making a voodoo doll, though. She was making a 3D print of him, which is much nicer.
Yeah, and then
more
wrapping stuff around
it. Established.
Great. But then wrapping voodoo stuff around it to be a voodoo doll.
Surely we've all printed dolls of each other. Like, I have a couple. I have different eras of each of you.
Yeah. Wow. Have you guys been to Gulliver's Gate in Times Square?
No.
Oh, it's great. You got to go there. There's, you go there, they have all these tiny villages and tiny towns, and they have a place where for only $300, you can get a 3D printing of yourself if you step into it. I
for
went
only
there three times. Each time, I went there once to myself. The second time, I went there dressed in a Justin suit, and the third time, in a Pete suit. And each time, the guy was like, I can't do this. And I was like, what about $600? And he's like, I can do this.
Yeah, way to negotiate. Oh, hey, I need my Justin suit back. By the
problem.
Way.
By the way, your bones, muscles, gross.
Yeah, thank you.
Put your skin back on, yo. Hashtag put your skin
hashtag
back
put
on.
Your skin back on is obviously the hashtag that you should, any comment for us should be put under.
Yeah, 100%. Now, so they're in the church. They have this conversation. I think we could kind of talk through the conversation, right? So like Pete is saying with that, while still getting annoyed at for some reason, they end up talking about everything. They end up talking about their powers. Why do we have this connection? What is happening between us? And they end up trying to test it. This scene was so cool and so intimate and romantic in a way.
Yeah, I'm glad they did that part at least.
Yeah, well, so what they do is that they decide to see how close they can get without activating each other's powers, because the last time they did it in the graveyard, they blasted each other backwards. And so we get to see Cloaky powers reaching out to Dagger. We see Dagger's glow reaching out to him. Again, and then they blast each other's backwards and are like, that was cool.
Yeah. It great. I agree. This was like, this made me really think, oh, these two will have a romance in a way that I really liked.
Yeah. I felt bad for Emoji Girl.
No.
Yeah.
I'm a little upset and Dagger not wanting a little bit more vengeance for her father just because it seems like her father really got fucked over by the Roxxon Corporation. And
Hold on. She's working on that.
Yeah, she's working on it.
She's barely working.
We'll get to that part. We're still on.
She's like going through the law where she has powers. You need to be going on fucking
shit. You're jumping all over the place.
I'm not jumping. They were talking about their like how they got their powers, and I wanted one of them to be like, "Yo, what happened to your dad? Was fucked up. Let's go do take care of business."
All right, cool. Let's get into that then, if we want to go into their separate storylines, because I think the last bit is where that church sure. conversation
well,
goes.
Well, actually,
to.
I just wanted to mention one part about this conversation before we get into that, which is there's a point after they blast each other across the room where they're lying on the ground on the floor, and they talk about, "Did you tell anybody about this?" And Cloak is like, "Oh, I'm kind of seeing a girl, but no, I didn't tell her. She wouldn't understand. What about you?" And I thought this dialogue was so well crafted because Tandy is having this conversation to him like, yes, clearly, of course, I told somebody. I can't believe you didn't tell anybody. And then she admits rather honestly to him that, no, I didn't tell anybody either. So that little character was great. But their idea of like, who would believe me? Doesn't exactly hold water in the MCU. Like, that's a one thing that's kind of holding me back right. a little bit
well,
about
this. We don't
this.
Know the yeah, situation. They, like, we don't know how much Cloak and Dagger relates
yeah,
to the larger.
Yeah, we also don't know if there's, like, superheroes in their world.
No, there is. It's in the MCU. They have...
Yeah, but they haven't looked up and been like, hey, there goes the Hulk or something, so we don't know, like...
No, but we do... Okay, this is my point. My point is, I like that the show is going the way it's going. I... like the direction of them being like, we couldn't trust anybody. That makes total sense. They have made no reference to the MCU, so fine. But because we know it is set in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we know that aliens have attacked New York and the Avengers exist, and Ultron dropped an entire city in Sokovia, and all of these other
things.
But
we don't know the timeline and when all this is happening.
I guess that's possible. I guess it could predate it, except the assumption is that it's happening now. So there have been people with powers all over the place. So I don't think you're supposed to be thinking about that while you're watching the show,
right.
mind you, yeah. but... It is being a fan and having watched all these shows and movies, it does hold me back a little bit from thinking this motivation is not false.
Yeah, but I don't mind it. They're protecting the storyline they need to tell without sure. getting into letting it be polluted by like Iron Man.
Also, yeah,
no,
you can't. It's still weird to say to somebody like, yeah, these light daggers come out of my hands. Someone would be like, that's weird. And then they would be like, yeah, but the Hulk exists. You know what I mean? Like, it's still a weird thing to reveal
right.
to
and
somebody.
They'd be like, all right, the Hulk exists. That's not that weird.
It's not a good defense. I think the honesty of them not telling people but sharing together is powerful. I think that's all that
So let's get
about.
Into it. So they each of the characters sort of learn a little bit from each other in this episode, and they go about their business trying to do it. If we want to talk about Ty first, Tandy tells Ty he needs to... Ty says he's trying to get to this cop, and so Tandy's like, you need to... Like, you can't just walk in there. Obviously, that will not go well, as Ty is very...
Yeah, he was...
talks about a lot.
Yeah, he had to be straight. Like, listen, I'm a black man. I got bigger issues.
Well, let's talk about this, because you have yelled at us quite a bit on this podcast about them not recognizing the issues facing them.
Right.
Particularly with Ty being a black man in America, with right. Tandy having to deal with rape and being a woman. They have a pretty honest conversation about that in the middle of the episode. How did you feel about it? Did it address your concerns, Pete?
It did, but it's, you know, she's still like, yeah, I liked the fact that they did it. I want more. I also, it would have been nice if Tandy...
I mean, just to be clear, they haven't solved the problems of racism or sexism in America in this episode. They are still prevailing.
Right.
But how did you feel about them in this episode?
Better? I guess
wow.
it's the...
Hard not to crack over here in Pila Page, because I thought this scene, the check your privilege moment between Ty and Tandy were in the church, I thought was so great. The line, this whole country's trying to kill me every day, I thought was like,
very
just
powerful.
Came out of nowhere. And for, I would
what
not expect.
Came out of nowhere. That's his life.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying on a show like this, on a network like this, to have that level of like realness about what's happening in the current politics and our culture, like I was like, that is... That's good writing, and yes. that like is not yeah. pulling punches.
And it also it didn't feel false, and it didn't
yeah.
feel forced. I think a lot of other superhero shows sometimes have forced this. There was I enjoy me some Supergirl, but there was a plot line about gun control on Supergirl a couple of episodes back that was real blunt and real super forced. This was much better acted, much better stated. They did a great job across the board with it. And
so
the bigger thing that I would argue is that it was used to drive a wedge between the characters and show them how far they needed to go to get together and to work with each other. So it was character motivated and it was plot motivated. It wasn't just somebody being like, this is a very special episode of Cloak and Dagger that's about racism.
Yeah.
Right. That's why I like the show so much, is that racism is a big part of it, which is great. It's putting a magnifying glass on a very ugly part of our country. Okay. Anyways, yes, it might have been clunky or weird, as you pointed out, but kudos to Supergirl for at least bringing it up.
Oh, my God.
You know, I mean, I'd rather have awkward moments talk. Than no moments.
I'm just going to... go out on a limb here and say Supergirl does not listen to this podcast.
I don't care.
Pete rides for Supergirl all day or
you know
day.
What? I'm going to march down the street, go to the Carole King musical, march up to Melissa Benoist and be like, just to be clear, I ripped your show a new one and Pete defended you on our Cloak and Dagger podcast. And she'll be like, stop talking in the middle of beautiful Carole King musical.
Escort this gentleman out of here. So getting back to the individual storylines, Tandy tells Ty that he needs to construct a narrative. We see Ty have the stolen bike story. He gets in there. He sort of panics in the precinct, which I thought was also very cool. He runs
very
out.
Very powerful. Very awesome.
Yeah.
Surrounded by the enemy, he's freaking out.
And then his dad, Ty's dad catches him in the lie of where are my bolt cutters, and then Ty's dad takes us on this journey into this spy boy group, which I thought was like a wild
thing. I was really nervous because I was like, oh God, not again. He's going to take him to the cops and the cops is going to arrest. Oh.
No, but he takes him to his old gang or something. Yeah. I think we need some
research on this.
Yeah, Brett, get on this for us for the next episode.
To me, it was something based on the different wards, the neighborhoods in New Orleans. I feel like this was maybe the ninth ward, I think I saw in this.
Yeah.
This is like this group that sort of keeps the peace in the ninth ward.
Yeah, so it turns out he used to live there. He was part of it. He brings his son into it. And they find this, what is it called, regalia?
Yeah.
Regalia that they fix in this old shop that they're putting together. It's pretty clear that Ty ends up picking it out, a random one in the back. Turns out it was his brother's that his brother never finished. It's pretty clear this is going to be his cloak when he eventually becomes Cloak.
Yeah.
But again, a very beautiful moment. The way that his father played it, I was very surprised because his father has mostly been played as nebbishy nerd this whole time.
Yeah.
Again, we keep complimenting the show, but I like the fact that they set up this character and let him simmer in the background for a couple of episodes before really revealing what he was about.
Yeah.
And his reaction when Ty brings out the cloak is very powerful and all done in his eyes.
It's great.
Definitely. I mean, you don't see a lot of beaded superhero outfits, so it's great to see a focus on the detail work.
I'm sure they're going to lose the beads.
Yeah. I don't think so.
No, they're not. You know, from the comics, Cloak's power is to get girls to show up your tits. You know
what I mean? What the fuck, dude? That was...
Yeah, more like uncloaked.
Oh, come on.
Great. You want to work through Tandy's storyline as well here?
Sure.
Since we definitely ended that on the right note.
Yeah.
Did we?
No, we didn't.
So Tandy, sort of leaning into her side, is like, I need to find out if this lawyer is going to treat my mom right. She uses her powers willfully.
Moment.
Very cool. Learns that this guy truly does want to create a family here.
Touching, beautiful moment.
It was great. And I love how Tandy just got on board. It was like, okay, I like this guy. I trust him.
I was so happy. I was like, oh, finally, we have a character we can fucking root for.
Well, so she ends up going to his office and investigating Roxxon with him, mostly so she can find out that he has a safe where he keeps most of his really important materials.
Great catch.
Yep. I love this storyline. I love the fact that we do find out he is a good guy who really wants to be with Tandy's mom. He really wants to care for Tandy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they didn't flinch on the fact that he's cheating on his wife. And they have this dinner together where he ends up getting called from his wife. It's so sad and so tense what happens there, because with Tandy, we've gone inside of his head. We've seen what this character is truly about. And to see him and this pseudo family broken so hard, was just sad.
Yeah.
Not to focus on another detail during the scene. What were they eating? Because it looked like they were just having bread sandwiches for dinner.
Yeah.
Like just sandwiches, just like rolls.
I mean, if they're on an all-carb diet, that's totally normal. I feel like that's very fashionable.
You get caught up on some of the...
They were also having those voodoo chips, the voodoo heat chips from, what is it, Zaps or whatever?
Very New Orleans.
Yeah, very New Orleans.
Oh, boy.
And then, so they... The mom doesn't trust Greg, and Tandy's sort of like, you should. She's like, what do you know about it?
Yeah.
And then she breaks up with him, and we get this whole... Tandy goes to, like, talk to him, and she witnesses him getting shot because they're on the trail of Roxxon.
Yeah, I... First of all,
lost it when that moment happened.
Me too.
I was so out of nowhere. No! Great.
That's what I was going to say is...
Wait, you said that was great?
Yeah.
What? No.
The moment was awesome. No, very well made.
Dude, that was the only good guy in the whole show so far, and he gets shot.
There's several good guys in the whole show,
yeah.
So I'm going to disagree with that point.
Name one.
But as somebody who's watched a fair amount of television, it's hard to surprise me, I feel like, at this point.
Yeah.
We should have seen it coming. Like,
yeah.
You find out
Definitely.
That he is a good guy. You find out about the safe. You get the setup of the office and everything. But still, to your point, Justin, the way that it was filmed and the way that it has happened was so shocking.
Yeah. It was so good.
It was completely earned, though.
I agree. It was like one of some of the best moments in Breaking Bad, where yeah. It's like surprising but totally earned. Just like, oh, I can't believe I didn't see that. It felt great. And now this is another secret that Tandy has to keep, because we see after that mom leaving messages for Greg. Greg's not calling her back because he's dead. And It seems like Tandy can't tell her mom that. Like, it just makes her life worse.
Well, it's not just
worse.
A secret. She's it's another authority figure that she thought she could trust in, thought she could use, like Detective O'Reilly the last episode. Completely cut off from her.
She's got to tell her mom. You can't not tell your mom while your mom's crying like that.
But she's protecting her mom. Somebody killed Greg over this information. If she tells her mom is a drunk most of the time. There's no way she's not going to raise a ruckus about it, and then she's going to end up dead. So by not telling her mom, she's saving her life.
Yeah, I agree.
You
I think
save. Her mom is a wreck right now. You need to help your mom out.
It's better that she's dealing with a breakup as opposed to like dealing with being murdered confronting that the fact.
Yeah, but her mom knows better than anybody how much they're trying to cover this up. So it would only fuel the fire where, hey, mom, we got to try to legally find someone.
She feels trapped, and she runs away from everything, and she's scared, and she gets to the point where she does the ultimate runaway at that point. She goes to the pier, wraps herself in chains, ties up her hands, and jumps into the water, which is following up to the conversation she had with Ty earlier on, where he basically challenged her to kill herself.
Yeah. He saw her suicidal thoughts, and so he confronts her about that and sort of calls her out for it. And she's like, you have the same shit going on. And he denies that, and that's what causes them to split. And then she carries out that.
Luckily, light daggers float.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so yeah. So she throws her in, and the light brings her back up. She uses the dagger to cut through her chains, cut through her ropes. Goes back to the office, cuts open the safe with the light dagger. So now we know just how strong those things are, which is kind of
great
amazing.
Moment.
Plus, they float.
That was right. That was a cool way to subtle way to show off her powers without having it be a big like Marvel Cinematic Universe style. Like, look what I can do! I thought that was really well done.
Well, and the other thing that's great about it is she gets the safe and she creates a light dagger. So
Willfully.
Even more than Ty, she's figured out how to access her powers. So to that point. How does she access her powers? What's your theory on that?
I think she has to. She's hardening her resolve and using her hope to move forward.
Okay.
And because I think that's what she's at her lowest point when she tries to kill herself, and she manifests the dagger as like, you know what, I'm going to live. Hope. And with breaking into the safe, she's like, I have hope that I can avenge my father and bring Roxxon to justice, and that manifests the dagger.
I don't know. It seems like her powers manifest when she's in trouble. You know?
Well, yeah, that too. And they talk about that in the episode. But I do think Justin's right. I think that we'll see if Cloak gets to the same point, because he's not quite there yet. By the end of the episode, he marches back into the police station, asks to see the police officer that he knows kills his brother. But he still hasn't quite mastered his powers in the same way that Tandy has. So we'll have to see if him delving into the darkness, him exploring fear.
Manifesting fear,
I think that's what accesses his powers.
Yeah. I feel like that might be a big component of next week's episode.
Yeah. So anything else you want to say about this episode? Anything else going on?
The show is definitely growing on me.
Love it. Top to bottom.
That's good. Also, I should mention before we get to the next section, if you are following us on any of our platforms, particularly iTunes, leave us a comment, leave us a rating, something like that would be much appreciated. Now, before we go, though, cloak or dagger? This episode only, Pete, cloak or dagger?
Cloak.
Any reason?
He's dope.
Cloak is dope.
This was definitely a dagger episode.
I did want to say there was this one line that really got to me where she was saying, where he said, I'm trying to make up for two lives. And I thought that was pretty powerful.
Definitely a dagger episode. This is her, like, going from a mess to a hero all in one shot. And I thought it was great.
Yeah, would you say from zero to hero?
I wouldn't say that.
I mean, she tried to kill herself in this episode. I don't know if that's a hero moment.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that moment was a hero, but I think her pushing through that is a hero moment.
That's true. I'll give you that.
Yeah. I'm also going to go with Dagger this episode. I really like both of these actors so much. I'm really enjoying watching the show. It's so, so well done. But like you said, her journey over the course of this episode and the work that Olivia Holt does, I think, is a little bit stronger. There was that.
I do wish they switched the powers in the TV show versus the comic book. I think it would be really more powerful if the white girl had the darkness powers and the black dude had the light powers.
So we talked about this the first episode, though. I think what they were doing was they were flipping the script. You expect a black kid in New Orleans to be the poor black kid, and you expect the white girl to be the rich girl, not the story.
But they did it. He's saying they did a version of that by flipping the character, yeah, sort of the character arcs.
So I think they flipped the characters, not the power.
It's just weird that it's like, oh yeah, he's in the darkness, you know, and he's a black dude.
That's their character arcs, right?
Right.
He has this lightness that is being drawn down into the dark. She has this darkness that's being lifted up into the light, and that's what's happening to
him. I'm just saying it would have been cooler.
He buries all of the darkness in his life, and it's emerging now in the flip for Tandy.
I gotta be honest. I would have liked better if they had green and yellow powers, because those are two of my favorite colors.
Oh, that's nice.
Thank you for sharing.
I wish they were just two Hulks.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Hulk.
Oh, that would have been so cool.
Our podcast could have been Hulk and Talk.
If you like this show and other shows we do, support it on patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. in New York at the Pit Loft. It's totally free. Come on by. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for the podcast and more. And hey, let us know what your favorite color is on Twitter or just emailing us, or, you know, just appear in our bedroom or whatever.
Shout in the streets until we find you.
Appear in our bedroom?
Yeah, you know, teleport.
No, don't invite people to our bedroom.
Use your red powers.
Our collective triple bunk bedroom?